Welcome back to KPIN, your radio station that keeps you informed and entertained. We're back with Bob in Marbleton at the town hall with the candidates for sheriff and county commissioner and school district number 9. Here we go. Bob Rule.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex. We are back on the air once again and getting ready to restart our forum as we can ask questions of the candidates. We're asking if people could please come in, take their seat. We are ready to restart our forum. Again, for the benefit of our radio audience, if you wish to submit a question, please email it to forum@pinedaleonline.com. The email address again is forum@pinedaleonline.com. Dawn Ballou is sitting in front of the computer. She will take your question and present it to Casey Dean. Again, please try to keep the questions brief to the point and indicate which race the question is for. For those of you here in the Marbleton Town Hall, again, JC, who is in the back checking on the food, has got the index cards, and she'll be happy to bring you one and let you write out a question, and you can submit your question by way of JC. All right, we're going to do another round of questions. One thing before we start, there are seats available. If people are listening on the radio and you'd rather come in person, come on out. It's open to the public. We are in the Marbleton Town Hall. Please join us in person if you would like to. Let's go ahead and switch next to Casey Dean as she goes about the next question.
Now am I on? Sorry. Our next question is for the county commissioners. Do the strong odors coming off the gas field concern you? If so, what would you as a commissioner do about it?
And we begin this time with Andy Nelson to answer first.
Well, of course, ladies and gentlemen, if the odors coming out of the oil field does not concern you, then there's probably something wrong. You can't smell them. Something like that. So, yes, they do concern me. Smell, being in the medical field, is taste at a distance. Okay, so if you can smell it, it is strong enough that you can taste it. So it's obviously something that can be detrimental. You have to find out where the origin of it is coming from. You have to hold those accountable where that smell is coming from to take care of the issue. And, yes, it is very much a something that the county commissioners have to be aware of and take action on.
Candidate Andy Nelson. Our next respondent, candidate Courtney Skinner.
Very much so, yes. Again, we come to our air, our water, and our way of life. I had to work several years out in the Jonah Field and across the Anticline and that in the wildlife biology. There were many days that the air quality bothered me, not only from visibility, but from the odor and the smell. So it is a concern not only to the county commissioners. I'm sure it's a concern to the industry themselves, because we have seen our air quality, again, disappearing, and getting worse. And it is a multiple concern.
Candidate Courtney Skinner. And next, candidate Joel Bousman.
Of course, the odor coming off whatever, wherever it's coming from in the gas field, which is yet to be determined, of course, that's very concerning. The folks that have the expertise to deal with this reside both in industry and in the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. And it's my understanding that they are working, as we speak, to determine what that is and what is creating that smell, and to determine whether or not, or what is the risk to human health from that smell. And that is being worked on. We as commissioners don't have the expertise to go out there and say what it is, but we certainly encourage the question to be answered and determined.
Candidate Joel Bousman. We now go to the sheriff candidates for a round of questions. The first to respond will be Dave Lankford, And the question will be asked again by Casey Dean.
Okay. Do you think it your responsibility and that of your officers to determine the constitutionality of a law and consequently whether or not to enforce it? If so, do you have an example of such an unconstitutional law?
Responding first, Dave Lankford.
I do not have an example of a constitutional law. I'm of the belief that there are three different divisions. Your sheriff's office is tasked with the job of enforcing the law, not determining what the constitutionality of that law. We have a responsibility to the citizens and to the public that they enforce the laws that they give us. If I have a problem on something like that, I'm going to be working with a combination of both the county attorney, the county commissioners, and there'll be a group effort that will make to address something along with it. But you, the public, giving me the task of enforcing the law, that's my job, is to enforce that law.
Candidate Dave Lankford. Answering next will be candidate Mike Edison.
Okay, does the county sheriff's office have a responsibility to follow the Constitution? Indeed it does. And I would also empower my deputies to use their common sense, if you will, to judge whether the law be constitutional or not. Let me give you some examples of what we could be confronted with. One is the health insurance issue, which is a big issue. That, under the 10th Amendment, U.S. Constitution, which says all other rights are given to the states, that would clearly be under the state, not the federal government. Nowhere in the Constitution does it mention that the federal government has a right to require people to buy a private health insurance. So if the federal government asked the officers to come collect, I would tell them no way. Also, the right to bear arms and illegal seizures, definitely we would not enforce federal laws if they are deemed unconstitutional. Thank you.
Candidate Mike Edison. Responding next, candidate John Wells.
I really believe it's up to the sheriff's office to deem whether a law is unconstitutional, but you have to follow your conscience. Conscience would state that use your best judgment. Most of the unconstitutional laws we would see would be federal laws, and we do not enforce federal statutes. That's up to the feds to do. We just do state statutes. We can assist the federal agencies, but we can choose not to also.
Candidate John Wells. Responding next, candidate Stephen Haskell.
After going around the world a couple different times and serving our country for 25 years, not just our country, but that flag and what it represents is our freedom and our liberties, there is no way in God's green earth would I stand up and try to do something unconstitutional. If somebody tried to come over and say, well, we need to go collect the weapons, that ain't happening. I'll be the first one to stand on that firing line, to stand up there and say, this is not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. As far as the laws itself, in and of itself, yes, that's what our job is to do, is make sure that we are protecting and serving the county members who live in the borders of this county. Thank you.
Candidate Stephen Haskell. That concludes this round with the sheriff candidates. We now go on to the two-year candidates for trustees of school district number 9. And if my notes are right, we're starting with Sherry Redden. Did you do this, Mac, this time? All right. If you know, maybe now that we're I think she's on to something. We're halfway through the forum.
Let's go ahead and shift gears.
And that way they can't say, I agree with Mac. So starting with the four-year group, it looks like, once again, Barty Bray not in attendance tonight. He would be next if he were here. So it looks to me like we are starting with James Gray, if my chart is correct. And then we'll get back to the two-year people after the four-year people are done. Candidate James Gray, one of the four-year trustees. Again, we're electing two of the four-year people. James Gray.
Well, first of all, the newspaper people have to disagree with the radio folks. We think it's John who's starting off this time.
Okay, I probably checked my numbers wrong.
We confused it all anyway, so we'll just start off with the question. If elected, what would you do to promote dual and concurrent enrollment?
John Fear.
Are we on? I'd support that. I mean, I think it's a good issue. I mean, if they want to go forward with their education, that's great with me.
Candidate John Fear. Answering next, candidate James Gray.
I have to agree with that as well. I think, you know, every opportunity these kids have to advance themselves, to, you know, give them more of opportunity into college, I'm totally for it. I think we ought to give them as much support and the available resources as we possibly can. Thank you.
Candidate James Gray. Next, candidate Glade Jones.
This would have been... This would have been a good question for Mac to start out with. there's a lot of opportunities for our kids, and if we can, anything we can do, if we can provide courses and different things for them that we can't afford to because of our size offer in our regular enrollment, the more of that we can do, the better off we are. We need to use technology and be able to do some of these things.
Candidate Glade Jones. Responding next, candidate Ray Pape.
I support that role. Anytime kids can try to work on some prerequisite classes in college and knock some easy stuff out of the way so that they can try to finish in a faster manner and kind of, I don't know, stress their brain, make it grow, I'm all for those kind of programs.
Candidate Ray Pape. Now we're going to switch over to the two-year candidates. My notes show that it's Sherry Redden, but what does the newspaper show? What did the candidates think? We've had four questions total previous to this. No. Mac has the microphone, so let's let Mac respond. Mac Rahelder.
This is one of the very important programs that we have in our school right now, and we are really into dual enrollment and high school concurrent. In fact, Big Piney is the oldest school in the state of Wyoming with high school concurrent classes. Harvey Graham was the very first high school teacher ever to teach high school concurrent English. We've got kids that are going to school that are second semester sophomores because we do not have the money or the numbers to have AP classes. So with a partnership with Western Wyoming College, we're able to have these dual classes and high school concurrent classes. It is fantastic for our kids. So the more kids that get involved, the more we're able to help them. And it took us a long time for kids to get involved and for parents to get involved to understand what can happen. But we are on the right track and have a very strong and vibrant program.
Candidate Mac Rahelder. And concluding, instead of going first, going last this time, candidate Sherry Redden.
Our BOCES program that Mac Rahelder is the director of has provided funding for this concurrent enrollment. And the students are taking advantage of it, and it's been communicated a lot better so that parents are able to help their students go forward with that. And Angie Clifford is also at the school to facilitate that with Western Wyoming. So, yes, I support that.
Candidate Sherry Redden. All right, that concludes that round. We'll go back to Casey Dean as she returns the questions to the county commissioners. And if my notes are correct, we're going to start with Courtney Skinner. Do we agree on that one? Everybody agree? All right, here's Casey Dean.
All right, starting with Courtney for the county commissioner candidate.
With numerous items of information. county and commissioners, what do you feel is of the utmost importance and highest single priority?
And this is Lee Skinner. They have a great deal of importance in almost everything they do in running the county. In fact, I'm a strong advocate of having five county commissioners after observing the amount of work and everything that they have to do. I think one of their main charges is to support our lifestyle and our way of life here in Sublette County, which means everything from a transparency in what they do and involving the citizens of Sublette County. It is an enhancement of our wildlife and our ranching and our recreation and our community are those what they are charged with doing, and I think they're doing a good job, and I think I can help them very much in those procedures.
Candidate Courtney Skinner. Answering next, Joel Bousman.
As far as what would be deemed to be the one most important thing, I don't think there's an answer to that. I think everything we do to run the county is important. We need to be fiscally responsible in the budget. I spend an extreme amount of my time sitting in BLM and Forest Service meetings, participating in the planning process because of the fact that so many decisions made by the federal government have an impact or potential impact on the custom and culture of this community. And I think it's extremely important that we see what those impacts are and do what we can to where we can protect the custom and culture. That's extremely important to this community.
Candidate Joel Bousman. And concluding, candidate Andy Nelson.
Number one, fiscal responsibility. If you are not fiscally responsible, if you have no money to run your county, you can't do these other things. It's really important. Number two, as Joel has said many times, the use of public lands, the multi-use of public lands, we have to protect our rights here in Sublette County. Number three, you have to care for those who built Sublette County and for those who are sustaining Sublette County right now.
Candidate Andy Nelson. That concludes this question for the county commissioners, and we now go to county sheriff. I'm showing Mike Edison next. All right, we're in agreement this time. Does Mike have the microphone? All right, we're all in agreement. Casey has a question for sheriff this time.
Okay. How would you define community-minded policing, and why is it important?
Candidate Mike Edison.
The community-minded policing, once again, the sheriff's department is for the people. And to be community-minded would be service to the community in the highest regard. So just helping people out mostly. There was something that I wanted to address, too, that's been on my mind, and that actually pertains a little bit to the last question. And anyway, I just wanted to say that, Stephen, I appreciate you standing up for the right to bear arms. And, John, I do agree with you that most of the unconstitutional laws come from the federal government. And Joel Bousman also said that we need to protect our custom and culture from the federal government. Now, what I wanted to share with people was that the sheriff is the highest elected law enforcement officer in the county. He has the ultimate jurisdiction. This includes that over federal and state officers, and that the county sheriff has the power to stop the federal crimes. Thank you.
Candidate Mike Edison. Next, candidate John Wells.
Community policing is basically getting out of your car, meeting the people. Don't be so locked up in your patrol car that you don't ever talk to anybody. We've tried community policing in a lot of places. It doesn't work. In a community like this, it can work, but you have to get out of your car and go talk to people. Community-minded policing, just make sure you get out and talk to the people, treat them like they're your your friends, and everybody in this county usually are friends. So pretty much get out of your car and go see people.
With John Wells. Next, Stephen Haskell.
I have to agree with John. If we're not stopping and talking with folks, how do we know what's going on? And first of all, I'm a talkative person. I like to say hey to everybody. Well, I wave and people are like, I don't even know him. But that's okay. I still said hey. For those of us that stop and say hi to the kids in the schools and stuff like that, those young ones are going to replace us. If we have not built a relationship with them, how's that going to turn about? A positive or negative? Well, hopefully it's a positive. So we need to make sure that we're starting from the bottom, and that goes from kindergarten up to 12th grade, and the rest of the community getting out, like you said, talking with one another and finding out what's going on. Thank you.
Candidate Stephen Haskell. And concluding, candidate Dave Lankford.
When I first got transferred to Sublette County, an old sergeant pulled me aside as I was heading up there, and he says, remember that you're living in the place you're working. And I think that's the most important thing for a law enforcement officer to do, is to remember that he lives within the community. He needs to be a part of that community. He needs to be out there in some other aspect other than just when the time when he's given the ticket. He needs to be involved in community activity. He needs to be going to the football games. He needs to be out where he can be seen, part of the public.
And candidate Dave Lankford concluding that round of questions. All right, Casey, we're back to the school district. This second half, we're starting with the four-year term people. And now that I've got check marks all over my page, I'll just look and see who has the microphone. Jay Gray has the microphone, so Casey will ask him the first question.
Okay. What can school board members do to push back against the Wyoming School Facilities Commission regarding the planning of the new elementary school?
James Gray gets to take this one first.
Mac, you want to take this one? I can't say I'm really qualified to answer on this one, not being totally involved in it. I know Wyoming's pushing really hard and not willing to compromise from what I'm understanding. I think we need to invite them down here, show them our facility, show them our environment, and, you know, just do our best. Basically all I can say for right now.
Candidate James Gray. Next, Glade Jones.
I think I've learned how to turn the mic on at least now. I was involved in the LaBarge school, and we had a lot of the same issues that are coming up now with the Big Piney Elementary School, and I've made a point to try to make it to as many meetings as I can. The state tries to, quote, save money and do this and do that. We've just got to stand firm. We've got to make our wishes and wants known. I think we can have a good school here, but we can't roll over and just let them push their design on us. We need to have community involvement. In the LaBarge school, some of the best things we had came from mothers coming out and looking at the designs and different things like that. I would strongly urge community members to come out and look at it and give their point of view.
Candidate Glade Jones. Next will be Ray Pape.
As far as pushback, if anyone knows me, they probably know that I'm not afraid to speak my mind and tell someone to back off. In my current role with the company that I work with, we have big projects all the time with building big compressor stations and having to deal with, you know, people from Houston trying to come up here and tell us how to do our job and how their drawings on their boards down there in Houston are going to work up here in the Wyoming weather. It's not an easy fight, but it's one I'm willing to take. And I think we just stand firm, invite them up, demand that they come up in the wintertime and see how bad the roads are, and and how our design that the community has had a lot of input in makes it safer for the kids.
Candidate Ray Pate. Our next respondent, candidate John Fear.
I think the main issue is you throw out your want list. You say, we need this, we need that, and you stand up for it. You get the community involvement. You get everybody involved on some of them issues, but there's probably a few that the state's not going to allow, and you're just going to have to hopefully get as much as you can for what you're going to get.
Candidate John Fear. Now, we go back to the two-year term people. This time, Sherry Redden gets to go first amongst that group. Sherry?
Been a lot of community involvement, and the plans were laid. The two main issues that I see that I've followed is the existing bus route, drop-off and pick-off for the children, and having the children outside. Those are the two issues that we would stand firm on and push back on, because we feel it would be safer to have the buses go around behind and drop off the children, and they go right into the building. We think it would be more of an inconvenient thing to have it the way it currently is, because it's a hornet's nest if you've ever tried to be in that area at the time of school, starting or ending. And also with the outdoor weather, I know trying to get them to come up here to see what it's like, I don't know, maybe it will take an aerial view or when there is congestion and when the temperatures are below freezing.
Candidate Sherry Redden. And now concluding, candidate Mac Rawhauser.
I said that there were so many things that I had just learned. This is the major one. This is a can of worms. And the legislature, the Schools Facilities Commission are holding a gun to our heads, trying to tell us what we need to do. Just like the road that Sherry's talking about, just like what Ray's talking about, we know what needs to happen with our school if it's as simple as a road needs to go behind the school instead of in front of the school. I sat in a meeting a couple days ago with a couple policemen, and they tried to explain to this man in California from Value Engineering why what his proposal wouldn't work. And he finally said to us, you people don't understand. And that didn't set well with me. But the point is that it is a very difficult situation, and we will get through it. But we are not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give them what they want. We're going to get what we want and what our kids need.
Candidate Mac Rawhauser. And that concludes this go-around. Now, we're having a little huddle here, asking ourselves, should we do another round of questions or should we do closing statements, which really wasn't on the agenda, but that doesn't stop us from doing it.
Well,
All right, the people who yelled the loudest said questions. Let's do another round of questions, but then maybe we should do just, you know, a concluding statement from everybody briefly at the end, because often there is one little thought you wished you had gotten in and you didn't quite get it in, and this would give you a chance to get that final thought in, as long as we kept it short for everybody. Casey Dean with the next question, which will go to Joel Bousman.
Okay, so your final question for the county commissioners. Do the commissioners need to supply funding to hire a victim's advocate?
Elfman.
Yes, I would. And to answer that question, I would ask for some advice from the people that deal in that we budget. We provide budget for different departments that deal in that issue, and whether we need to provide more money for that or not, I would ask for input from the folks and determine why that is needed and how it will benefit the public. It's certainly worth talking about.
Candidate Joel Bousman. Our next respondent, candidate Andy Nelson.
Definitely worth entertaining. cost versus benefit. It has to be weighed in every situation this way also. But for a supplying funding for a victim's advocate, there are probably few things that would be more beneficial than that. It sounds good, but you would have to entertain it, and you'd have to see what's in the budget, and then you'd have to figure out cost versus benefit.
Candidate Andy Nelson. And concluding, candidate Courtney Skinner.
Well, I don't have the answer to that. I, like the other two candidates, I would have to study it, see what the situation is and within the budget. So I think it should be considered and taken onto the table, and we go from there.
And concluding the county commissioner questioning, Courtney Skinner. We now go on to our final round of questions for the sheriff candidates. And I believe John Wells will be first to respond. Casey will ask the question.
Okay. I'm going to take a second, too, to point out that even though we're wrapping this up, we have a lot of questions that we didn't get to. Hopefully candidates and everybody here can stick around and chat, so feel free to ask your questions even if we didn't get to the bottom of the pile. Next, for sheriff candidates, what are your plans with regard to juveniles who break the law in Sublette County? What are your feelings on having a 4 to 5 bed facility for youth who make unwise decisions?
Candidate John Wells.
This is kind of a hot spot for the whole state. The state is wrestling with this problem with juveniles. Some of the counties are building juvenile facilities. I really don't want Sublette County to get involved in the incarceration of juveniles, even a 4 or 5 bed facility. It's a huge headache for the county. It's going to be costly, and I think it would be more beneficial to the county and the children if they are to be locked up, to take them to a different facility, not one in our county.
Candidate John Wells. Our next respondent, candidate Stephen Haskell.
I have to agree with John as far as the with the youth. But first and foremost, with the youth, when they do make mistakes, and we have a tendency to put this black cloud over them, well, I want to see that changed. I want to work with our county attorney as far as bringing them maybe a little bit of going out and serving the community. Wash some vehicles. Heck, help someone out for crying out loud. But as far as the facility for these kids, for the youth, I have to agree with John. Sweetwater's got a wonderful facility for them. It's extremely expensive, and I would really not like to see that here. Thank you.
Candidate Stephen Haskell. Responding next, candidate Dave Lankford.
Juveniles are a problem in law enforcement from the get-go, and trying to find the proper response to them is every law enforcement headache. Working with the county attorney to trying to get a program set up or a process set up to properly take care of that is definitely a start that we have to do, is getting a proper protocol in store. But as far as what John is saying there, and on at the end of the line, sort of at the end of the line, Stephen, here, there are facilities that, with my knowledge that I have on this, that are better suited for taking care of things than here in Sublette County.
Candidate Dave Lankford. And next, candidate Mike Edison.
Plans on working with the youth. This is my specialty. I spent 12 years in Alaska as a public school administrator and as an educator. One of the things that I would like to do is I feel like intervention is a big form of prevention. So I would like to make sure that resource officers are available in the schools working directly with the youth and creating an atmosphere of trust. Also, I prefer counseling and trying to keep the juveniles within the county and promoting strong families and strong communities. Thank you.
candidate, Mike Edison. All right, that should wrap up the questions for the sheriffs. Now we're going to go over to school district number 9. Once again, of the four-year term people, you will be electing two of these four. The fifth one, Marty Bray, unable to attend tonight, but he is on the ballot. This time we start with Blaise Jones and Keith Dean will ask the question.
Okay, your final question for the school board. What is your opinion of Big Piney's acquisition of the Annex building, and do you have any reservations about it?
Blaise Jones.
Well, there's always underlining reservations, but I think the positives with community involvement and trying to make it a community school and having the school be involved with the community and the community, the interchange back and forth far outweighs any of the reservations I have. I look forward to working with the community in the recreational aspects of our kids and the adults that are out in the community so that we can have a facility there that will still serve the students and help serve the community needs also, and having that communication, it helps with a bridge of communication between the schools and the communities, and I don't have a problem with it.
Candidate Blaise Jones. Responding next, Ray Pape.
I support it. I don't have anything negative about it. I think it's a win-win situation for the schools and for the community. Gives them the opportunity to have some after-school programs to go do in the new rec center that's going to be that it'll become. It also reduces the footprint for the school district so that they can get more schools, get another building. So it's just a good win-win situation for this side of the county.
Candidate Ray Pate. Next, John Fear.
I support it. Just like it's a win-win for the school. This allows the school district to maybe build an elementary school with your desire and it just brings the community back into the school. It gets them closer to the school, I think.
Candidate John Fear. Answering next, James Gray.
I think it's an outstanding setup. As everybody's mentioned, yes, it reduces our footprint to we are allowed to get a new elementary school. But it also gives these kids something to do after school. You know, instead of going home or, you know, running on the streets or hanging out at Loaf and Jug, it gives them some place to go to be entertained, to be involved. And it also brings the community in with this. And that brings that whole deal of the school and the community involvement. It brings everybody closer together, more in tune, and I think it's more of a benefit for this community. I do agree with this 100%.
Candidate James Gray. Again, of these candidates, two of them will be elected, voting for two. We now go to the two-year term people. You're only voting for one. There's two of them. This time, Mac Rawhauser leads off.
Here again is one of the ideas that we had to give up floor space to get an elementary school, so it does become a win-win situation because the community is taking over the rec center. And it's a great place for our kids to go. It stays close to campus, and hopefully if we work out all the issues with the boundary lines with Sublette County School District Number 1, we'll have some money to help put into that recreation facility. And it's going to help us out all the way around. But it is a great idea, and it's on its way with the community, and we're working together.
Candidate Mac Rawhauser. And concluding, candidate Sherry Redden.
I agree with what's been said and have been following that with the town council and also with the school board. And I do believe that they're going to work hand in hand, and they want to provide and make positive steps forward for the community and for everyone involved.
That was candidate Sherry Redden. And with this, I think we have concluded all of our questioning. Again, Casey has received quite a few questions we couldn't get to.
Hopefully those in attendance can ask some of their questions directly once we adjourn.
When we started this event, we went clockwise around the room, and everybody gave an opening statement. Let's do it the other way around and go counterclockwise. Just mix it up. And let each candidate give a 1 minute closing statement. Whatever's on your mind, whatever you wish you had said that you didn't say, and maybe a reason or two why we should vote for you. We'll begin now with the four-year School District Member 9 trustee, starting with John Fear.
Are we on? There we go. John Fear again. The only reason that I threw my name out there is because I care about the kids. That's what it's about. And I'll do what it takes to make sure that they get the best possible education they can get. Thanks for coming.
Candidate John Fear. Next, Ray Pape.
Again, gentlemen, one of the reasons to vote for me is I'll keep it real. I'll fight the fight with whether it's the state, whether it's the school administration. I'm in it for the long haul. I've got 3 kids in school. I've got a very vested interest with my kids in the school. And it just gives me another way to give back to the wonderful community that I grew up in. Thank you.
Candidate Ray Pape. Next, Glade Jones.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and listening to us spout our virtues or whatever we are trying to do up here. It's for the kids. I'm running, trying to be involved and be an involved father. Try to look at what's going on in the school district and how I can help. But it takes all of us. It takes the communities. It takes us as parents. It takes our grandparents, and it takes everybody to make the school system work. And and together, all of us will continue to have a great school here in Sublette 9.
Candidate Glade Jones. Responding next, candidate James Gray.
I believe I have a vested interest. You know, I have the 3 beautiful daughters, and I have a granddaughter who's making her way around the room here, who will be coming up pretty soon. And with the wonderful opportunities this county has to offer, and the opportunity for these kids is just phenomenal. And I want to see this. I want to see this continue on. I want to see it continue on for the next generation, and for my granddaughter who's coming up. So, yeah, I'm in this for the long haul, and I'll do my very best to keep it going. Thanks.
Candidate James Gray. Now for the 2 2-year candidates. Candidate Mac Rawhauser.
Again, I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I just have to say that my vested interest is this is the greatest school district in the state of Wyoming, and always has been. And I want to make sure it stays that way. And I've got a little bit of experience, and hopefully I can use that experience to add behind the scenes to, because I'm not going back in the classroom, I can tell you that much. So I want to be able to help at another level. Thank you very much.
Candidate Mac Rawhauser. And concluding, the school district trustee candidates, Sherry Redden.
I also appreciate all of you coming out, the awareness of the questions and the issues and your concerns. I want to, I guess, paraphrase Mother Teresa where she said, we can do no great things, just small things with great love. I have a love for this community. I have a love for the people and for the ongoing projects, and I want to do the best job that I am possible and able to do. And I also appreciate these men who are willing to run for the school board, and also the men who are running for our sheriff and for our county commissioners. And I hope and wish all of them well.
Okay, thank you very much. That was candidate Sherry Redden. I've been told that I'm the guy guilty of putting my hand around the microphone, making it cut out. So thank you for the tip. I'll keep my hand off the bottom of the microphone, and I'm the guy telling you people not to cover up the little infrared thing. All right, let's go on now to candidates for sheriff with concluding statements. Dave Langford being first up.
If I can rob a little bit from Sherry here, it's all about community. You know, that your sheriff
have been laid out in a lot of different roles here. To me, the sheriff is the community's representation of what law enforcement is. That's your voice within the community. And I will be a sheriff who will be accessible, community-minded, and be looking out after your welfare. Thank you.
And that was candidate Dave Langford. Our next respondent, candidate Stephen Haskell.
Again, I believe that leadership as your sheriff, direction, be firm, fair, and consistent with the deputies, with their training, and also build a working rapport with the community. Working with the community has always been a big thing for me. Again, with my service in the Marine Corps, my 25 years, I just didn't do it for me. I did it for you. And I'm here to give back for you giving me that opportunity to serve you. Thank you.
Candidate Steve Haskell. Our next respondent, candidate John Wells.
Thanks for coming tonight. I just wanted to reiterate that I am a strong proponent of your Second Amendment rights also. I've been a lifetime member of the National Rifle Association for 30 years. Don't want to see anybody take your firearms away from you. I've been a leader in the Sheriff's Department for the last 2 years. I've got the backing of my deputies. I've got their trust and their support, and I think that goes a long way. Hopefully I've gained the community's trust and support. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Candidate John Wells. And concluding for the sheriff candidates, we have candidate Mike Edison.
There we go. Again, thank you, everyone, for coming here tonight. In ending, I'd like to say I will fight the fight and do what is right. What you can expect from me, if elected, is you can expect honesty and integrity. You can expect me to be tough on real crime, including illegal immigration. And I would like to address these key issues, such as the transparency, professionalism, service to communities. And I'd like to emphasize on the service to communities that we're not mere revenue collectors, but truly are to serve the community. That would be given a top priority. And then, once again, the protection of our constitutional rights. The Sheriff's Department belongs to the people. So those are my concluding remarks. Thank you.
That was candidate Mike Edison concluding the sheriff's responses, the sheriff's closing statements. Now we go on to county commissioners and wrapping it up. First, Joel Bousman.
Thank you all for coming. If elected, I will continue to be actively engaged in addressing the issues that we as commissioners face in this county. Please call me with any concerns. I do return phone calls, and I do listen. In the end, I make my decisions based on all the input I received and based on what I feel is best for this county. Thank you.
Candidate Joel Bousman. Next, candidate Courtney Skinner.
Again, thank you, and thank all of the candidates for every position and all of you people for coming. It's no wonder you have the best school district, number 9, in the state of Wyoming, because you're in the best county in the state of Wyoming, or as my father might say, in the United States, and I want to be a part of it. That's maybe taking in a little too much territory, but I firmly believe into it. I have the experience to be a county commissioner. I have the tenacity to stay in the fight and everything for what we believe in. I have the integrity and the transparency to make a good county commissioner, and I have the time. And in the 15 seconds, just like Everest and the mineral displacement tax, it can be done, and we can get the big E. Thank you.
Candidate Courtney Skinner. And concluding the evening, we'll have a closing remark or two from candidate Andy Nelson.
Well, folks, you're looking a little flat on one side, so I'll be brief. In order for the county to function at its peak, the county commissioners have to function at their peak. They have to work hard.
And in order for it to work both ways, is the citizens of Sublette County have to work equally as hard as the commissioners. You have to come to the meetings. You have to give us your opinion. You have to talk to us. I have an open door policy. I have a business on Main Street right next to the post office. Come in any time. If you don't know where it is, I'll tell you where it is. I'll give you my phone number. I'll give you my email address. There'll be no reason why you cannot communicate with me.
And concluding for the evening, candidate Andy Nelson. We do want to thank all of the candidates for their participation tonight. We want to remind everybody that tomorrow night at the Pinedale Public Library, we are going to have a similar forum, only this one will be House District 22, and it will be Sublette County School District Number 1 candidates. So again, 6 o'clock p.m., it will be on the radio. We invite people to come out in person. Again, we want everybody to remember not only to vote, but to vote informed. And by doing this event tonight, I think we see a lot of people who are informing themselves. So again, thank you to everybody for coming out. Alex, back at the radio station, I'll let you take it and thank our sponsors. And again, thank you everybody tonight for this little get-together. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bob. If you would like to see a sample ballot, they are available online, and you can get them by going to, I'll get to that later because I've put it aside somewhere. Here it is, www.sublettyo.com. That's sublettyo.com, and click on Additional Info below the words General Sample Ballots. An important note that you will want to consider is if you're interested in voting for the write-in candidate, Sheriff Dave Langford, any write-in candidate's name must be spelled correctly or it will not be considered or counted. Dave Langford's name is spelled L-A-N-K-F-O-R-D. That's Lankford. Thank you to our sponsors tonight for bringing this show to you. They are High Mountain Real Estate, James Thomas. You can call him at 231-0167. They've got a place for sale at Neosha Trail, 17 Neosha Trail in Boulder, Wyoming, a modular home with vinyl siding, beautiful sunny rooms. American Fuel Company, with two gas stations in Big Piney and LaBarge, and a bulk plant for fuel and oil, which offers credit and financing. 24-hour fueling at both stations, and free ice cream cones for every 15 gallons of fuel at Big Piney. If you're interested in credit or financing, call American Fuel at 367-6311. A house for sale at 15 Richard Lane in Cora, Wyoming, is a beautiful A-frame type house, asking $94,900 for this, with zero bedrooms, one bath. You could make three bedroom areas out of it, and it's a gorgeous place beyond the place, about 1 mile, overlooking the Upper Green Kendall Valley. 23 Feed and Pet Supplies is another sponsor this evening with Neutrina feeds, IFA feeds, Triple Crown horse feeds, cattle, poultry, horse, farm, and show feeds, vaccines, dog wash for full service or self-service, and serving all of Sublette County's ranch needs at 215 Country Club Lane, Unit 1 in Pinedale. That's 367-4166. If you're interested in getting information from 23 Feed and Pet Supplies. And our last house for sale that we have from High Mountain Real Estate with James Thomas is at 1876 Wyoming Highway 352 in Cora. It's also in the Upper Green Kendall Valley, located 1 mile before the place. A three-bedroom, one-and-three-quarter bath home with septic, cedar siding, and a metal roof. Gorgeous homes being offered to you by High Mountain Real Estate. Well, tonight was the first of two election forums. Tomorrow night's forum will be held at the Sublette County Library at 6 p.m. People can submit questions to forum@pinedaleonline.com, and Dawn will print them out. That's forum@pinedaleonline.com, all one word, and we'll get them asked of the candidates tomorrow night. We're going to be doing election coverage on Tuesday night as the results come in around 7 o'clock as well. You've been listening to KPIN Radio Pinedale and tonight's coverage of the election forums for Sublette County.